Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the church. Glad that you made it. And before we begin our study tonight, let us bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we come before you with gratitude in our hearts and for the things that you have done. Thank you for taking care of us for this day. Thank you for providing the things that we needed today. And Lord, before we open your word, we want to ask for the Holy Spirit. May He come, dwell in our hearts, mingle in our minds, and give us in wisdom for eternal life. May everything that we learn, we be able to put it into practice and share those news with others. Thank you for being with us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, as you know, we are looking at the armor of God and its components. And today, we're going to look at the second piece. If you read Ephesians 6, verse 10 and ongoing, you'll see that I'm not going in the order as Paul wrote them down. So I choose a different order. I started with the helmet. And tonight, we're going to look at the breastplate. And the title is Christ, Our Righteousness. And our text, or our key text, is Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. So there's an action that has to be done by us. Paul is saying, take up, grab it, lift it, put it on. It's not going to put on by itself. And just because you're safe doesn't mean that God is going to put it on for you. It says clearly, take it up. Another verse is put it on. Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day and having done how much?
Everything.
Another important phrase. Having done everything. So you can stand firm the evil day. Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm, therefore, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. One of the best armies that ever existed was the Roman army. I mean, they lasted for over 4 centuries in power. It was a great empire. They had a great structure, organization, laws. Actually, it was a very safe empire. You can travel from Egypt to Rome without a problem because of the roads they created. And they actually, the roads they call it was the Pax Romana, which is the road that led it to Rome, and they were all peaceful. They had checkpoints because of the army. And the success of the empire was in their military. It was a very organized military. They usually gather or recruited young people between the ages of 18 to 20. They needed to serve a term of 25 years, believe it or not. They were not able to get married during their service. And of course, there were some illegal marriages going on too, but it was forbidden to get married. And they needed to serve for 25 years. And there was some rewards, of course, after they served their time, if they were still alive. They will get a piece of land somewhere in the empire for them to continue working. They made some pretty good money. Well, a regular soldier will make like 18,000 denarii. A centurion, 27,000 denarii. If they were in the first cohort, they went by cohorts in their units. And the first cohort through the fifth cohort, they were the front of the battle. They were in the very front. So they get paid more. Huh? Yeah, as was paid. And the other centurions were on the back cohort, like from the 6th to the 10th. They were probably making 21,000 denarii per year. So I guess it was tempting. Huh? It was a salary, and I cannot remember how much it was. It's a measure of gold, but I can't remember the exact amount. Sorry about that. how many ounces. But it, huh? Yeah, it was a denary was a day worth salary. So if you're only working for one denary, you get one denary a day. They were making 27,000 a year. So it wasn't so bad, I think. So they were very organized. They recruited young and they trained them pretty well. And one of the things they trained them on was on marching. They needed to learn to march in step so they can move, so they all can move as one unit. They needed to recognize the sounds of the trumpet in the battlefield, because depending on the sound, that was their sign to attack, retreat, form, reform, gather again, or fire at will. But they all move as a unit. And they all wear the same uniform, all of them. And this is a picture, a modern picture, and this is their full uniform. They had, you can see the helmet, the sword, the belt, the breastplate, the shield. They had a shovel, a canteen for water, a pan to cook, the spear, the bow. They all wear this uniform, all of them. It was the same exact uniform, which was very important. So this gives them the structure, the training, the capacity to be one of the greatest armies that ever existed. And that's why Rome was able to stay in power for so many years, because of the training and the organization of their military. But tonight we're going to look at this part of the armor, which is the breastplate. This is actually in a museum in London. This piece was recovered back in the early 60s in Cambridge, England. And of course, you can see how they reconstructed what a breastplate of a soldier, a Roman soldier, would look like. And this is how it used to look like. So what it is just iron plates, overlapping iron plates to one another. They were joined together on the inside with a leather strap. And being overlapped in layers, it will give the soldiers the flexibility to bend over and to move. At the same time, to protect them from the battle, the dangers of the battle. You have spears going on, you have arrows flying around, you have rocks flying around too. That was one of the things that the soldiers needed to train with, rocks and I forgot the name. The thing that David used, a slingshot. They needed to train on that and be good at it. So their training was very, very, very harsh as well. They needed to walk with their full uniform, like that one, at least 20 miles within a certain amount. I think it's 5 hours. Roman miles, which is about 19 miles in 5 hours. So they moved pretty quick. They moved pretty fast. And they could advance a whole day about 30 miles per day when they were going. So they moved pretty quick. They were very, very efficient. And this is the armor or the breastplate that they use. And they have some leather strings to tie at the front to make it tight, so there will be no openings. And the same on the back. And there was a round piece on the shoulders to protect this part of the arm. So it was pretty well done. And this is what benefited them in the battle. They were an advantage. I mean, they were pretty intelligent people as well. And they make a lot of things for combat too. But it is clearly in many scholars and theologians that when Paul is writing Ephesians 6 and talking about the armor of God, he has this armor in mind and the purpose of the armor. So the armor needed to protect the vital organs of the soldier, of course. I mean, you have your lungs, you have your liver, your heart too, you know, this, that stomach, all this. They needed to protect those organs from being hurt and in danger. But most important, they needed to protect their heart. I mean, the heart is a very important organ, don't you think? It is responsible for pumping oxygen, nutrients through the blood system. your brain requires 20% of the oxygen that the heart pumps. So every time you breathe in, 20% of that air that goes into you goes into your brain. It's the organ that requires the most oxygen. So I guess the smoking is really bad for you too. So clean air as much as you can. Deep breaths. So, but it brings the nutrients and the sugar and the carbs and the energy to all the other organs, muscles. So it's a very important part of the human body. And Paul uses the metaphor of the breastplate to call it the breastplate of righteousness, because it's important to protect your heart. And stand firm, therefore, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's what Paul writes. 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power to destroy what? So we don't have war against flesh or blood. We have war against spiritual realms and the heavens. And we need to protect our heart. Actually, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things, above everything, and is beyond cure. Other version says it is very wicked. Who can understand it? So it needs to be kept safe. We can't even trust our own heart. I mentioned it yesterday. So therefore, we need to wear this piece of the armor, which is the breastplate of righteousness. And probably the best illustration that is in the Bible about this is in Zechariah 3. So if you will, you're welcome to come with me to Zechariah chapter 3. And we'll begin to read from verse 1. This is what happens. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1 and forward. This is a vision that the prophet is having. Verse 1 says, then he showed me Joshua. Who? Joshua. And not just Joshua, but the high priest Joshua, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to do what? To accuse him. And let me make a quick parenthesis here. So you have Joshua, and to his right, who is he standing right next to him? Satan. And what is his job? Accusing him. When you go to Romans chapter 8 and you read verses 26, it says that the Holy Spirit comes to you and it helps you in your wickedness. It also adds that we're not even good enough to pray. Therefore, now the Holy Spirit intercedes in your prayers, so God will know what you're really saying. Because we can't even pray. We're not good enough to pray. It says that the Holy Spirit groans in our prayers. And then if you read a little below in verse 31, there in Romans 8, it says, what should we say about these things? If God is with us, who's against us? He who did not spare his own son, but deliver him over for us, how will not also be also with him freely give us all these things? Verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies, who is the one who condemns. Jesus Christ is the one who died, yes, rather who has raised from the dead and is at the right hand of God, also intercedes for us. And one of my favorite texts in the Bible, Verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No one can. But you see, one of the things that the Trinity is already busy. And it's a good busyness. The Holy Spirit is giving you strength in your weakness. The Father is justifying you. And the Son is interceding for you. And who's the one doing the accusing? Satan. So please, don't take the job of Satan. Sometimes we do that among ourselves. That's his job. That's not our job of accusing our brethren. And God is not even doing it. God is busy trying to save me and save you. Remember, the Spirit is giving you strength. God is justifying you. And the Son is interceding for you. But the one doing the accusing is Satan. So that's our situation right now. We are being accused by Satan. Verse 2 in Zechariah chapter 3. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord has chosen Jerusalem to rebuke you. If this is not a brand plucked from the fire." Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Talking about Joshua. And that's our setting. We are in the midst of a judgment. We are being accused. So we're in trouble. Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, standing before the angel. Joshua was with filthy garments standing before the angel. Isaiah writes, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind takes us away." That's our condition. Just like Joshua. Joshua is dressed with filthy garments in the presence of the Lord. And Isaiah says that even our righteous deeds are like filthy garments, unclean. There's no good in us. Verse 4. He spoke. This is the angel speaking. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, "Remove the filthy garments from him." Again, he said to him, "See, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with festal robes." So now God is taking away our filthy robes. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. And just think it over for a second. We become the righteousness of God. Can you imagine just that? I mean, just think about it for a second. You become the righteousness of God. Not in God, but of God. And that's one of the things that amazes me the most. When God brings the solution to our problem and sends His Son, His only Son, the one He loved the most, who knew no sin, He became sin for you and I, so that through Him, we become the righteousness of God. I mean, who's other than who else in the universe is righteous but God Himself? And because He has taken the filthy garments of Joshua of us and has put on us this new garment, now we become the righteousness of God. Not in God, but of God. It's like if somehow someone else can see through us the character of God. And that's what it really should happen. But just think here for a second. It's amazing what happens. It's amazing that how we were condemned in a judgment seat, being accused. And all what all he does is he uses words, take away his garments and put new garments on him. I don't have to do anything. Everything is done by the Word of God. And that's the solution that God presents us. He's given us righteousness through Jesus. Verse 5. Then I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. This is another great text. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exalt my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Like the bridegroom who decks himself with like a priest with a beautiful headdress, or like a bride who adorns herself with jewels. That's what Isaiah says. I mean, what? I don't know. I'm a man. But from a lady's perspective, what's the most important day of their lives? One of them has to be their wedding. Usually, men don't think about the wedding. It's not, but the bride, it's all about the wedding. It's extremely important part of their lives. It is extremely important. And they want to look beautifully. If they can afford, they will buy the most expensive dress they can afford. And this is not about stewardship, please. Why? Because it is extremely important. And Isaiah compares the wedding to our salvation, to the garments of salvation, to the robe of righteousness, because it has to be the most happy day of our lives. It needs to be. Look at the condition that we were in. Filthy garments. Unrighteous people. And just because God said, we became righteous. And not just any righteous. We became the righteousness of God Himself. Very good stuff, don't you think? Powerful. But with that, with power comes what? A responsibility. See, because God is not finished talking with Zechariah. Still, we got a verse 6 and 7. And this is what the angel of the Lord says. Verse 6. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk with me, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house, and also have a charge in my courts. And I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. So we have now a responsibility before God. Yes, we were cleansed by His word alone. He said it, and we've got righteousness, robe of righteousness. We have garments of salvation. But also with that comes a responsibility. Just like the Roman soldiers. I mean, when you see them in full uniform, restored well nowadays, but I'm assuming the uniforms look beautifully. How many, any of you attracted to uniforms in any way? You do? You talk to young ladies, and when they see young Marines, young Army men, or young airmen, or sailors, they will say, wow. Even the firemen look good in uniforms. They do. My daughter's 21. We live near like three Marine bases, and she has been to the base because of their friends. She knows, and she'll bring pictures, and yeah, they look pretty. And he's cute. So God has put on us this beautiful garments, but it comes with a responsibility. It's not just to show off. The breastplate, even though if it looked very shiny on the pictures that I show you, it was not just to show off. It had a purpose to protect the heart, to protect the soldier. Now, let me say something. If you were drafted in the Roman army, they didn't draft, they recruited, but let's say you were drafted. You had to join in. And they give you this beautiful breastplate. And you march into battle. What is going to happen to that breastplate? It's going to get beat up. There's going to get some dents and some blood stains, and it's going to get used and fulfill its purpose to protect the life of the soldier. So, is it possible, with that in mind, is it possible that we might dirty our clothes of righteousness? Think about it just for a second. With that in mind, is it possible? Yes, you are in a war. And your clothes of righteousness is going to get dirty. It has to. It has to get stained. But the purpose of that breastplate of righteousness is to protect you, to protect your heart, even if it gets beat up. But of course, if you don't know how to wear it, it's not going to do any good for you either. So, it's not just putting it on. You need to know the use for it and its capacities. Therefore, you must guard your breastplate. You have to. You need to take good care of it. Don't be careless about it. 1 Peter chapter 5:8 says, be sober, be watchful, be on your toes, on your feet, because the devil is like a lion going around trying to see who he will eat. You must take care of the plate, the breastplate, including myself. Also, take out any unbelief. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, so I believe Paul wrote this down, and that's what he's saying. He's hoping that there is no any unbelieving heart among you. If there is, you need to take it. And of course, we have the rest of the armor, who's going to help us with many other things. But this is about the breastplate. Of course, don't abuse grace. Just because you're safe, don't abuse grace. What did Paul say in Romans 6? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin so grace may abound? What is his answer? No! Absolutely. And it's not just no. It's absolutely not. We're safe. Stop sinning. That's what basically what he's saying. Disobedience can corrupt your breastplate. And this is what 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says. If we continue to sin, we are in lawlessness. We're in complete disobedience. We are outside the law. We are outside God's people. If we are abusing grace, we are in complete disobedience, and we are tolerating sin. And that's the problem. Just because we have the breastplate, we have the righteousness of Jesus on us, we need to protect it. We need to keep it safe. We need to guard it. We can't just take it loosely. So don't tolerate sin. And Hebrews 4 says that some do not enter into the kingdom of God because they continue to sin. They just can't let go of it. So when you tolerate it, also, don't refuse to forgive. I know that, and I'm sure if I ask the question, have any of you been hurt by another church member, by an elder, not by Benjamin, but by a pastor? We all have experienced it. It's part of growing of the Christian experience. But we cannot refuse to forgive. Even Jesus said, if you don't forgive, God what? He will not forgive you. The prayer that he taught the disciples, Father, forgive me as I have forgiven. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, whatever you forgive here in this earth, I will also forgive. So whatever happens down here on earth, he's noticing up there. So if I don't forgive, he will not forgive me. We need to guard our breastplate. Finally, one more. Personal righteousness. We will never be good enough. Sorry to say that. But Paul clearly advises the young pastor, Titus, to say, hey, you have not been saved by your righteous deeds, but by the grace of the Son. So we're saved by the grace of Jesus. And though we have been entrusted with a plate of righteousness over us, and though it's going to get dent, it's going to get dirty, it's going to get stains, don't do it on purpose. Those stains, that dirtiness, those dents, it's just part of the battle. We are in a battle zone every day of your life. And if you're a soldier of God, you need to wear your armor every single day. You will get attacked. And you will put a dent, you will put a stain, and it's okay. John says, my little children or my beloved, I write these things to you so that if any of you have sin, you have what? An advocate. Because we do sin. I sin every day. Not because I want to. It just happens. It's my nature. But there's another thing when you go out and do it purposefully. Like I said, you will get stains, you will get dents. It will happen. So, put on the breastplate of righteousness to overcome temptations. Have a right relationship with God. Confess and repent your known sins. Act on God's principles, not your passions. Remember, your heart is deceitful. Eliminate anything from your life that is not holy. Take it out. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to fall, what? Pluck it out. It's better to go into heaven blind than having your all complete entire body and soul thrown into the lake of fire. And most important, lean on the righteousness of Christ. And let me illustrate that with this. Hope you like it.
Next. File, please. Some lying. Some stealing. And some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles.
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
Hey, wait a minute. That is totally not fair. Yeah.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
Take up the full armor of God, and having done everything, stand firm. See, it's not about you. It's always about Jesus. And that's how you become the righteousness of God. Not because of your deeds, but because of what He did in the cross for you. May the Lord bless you this evening.